broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us this hour to worship with us in song, praises, and as we bring God's message. Our Father, we thank Thee for the past hours You've given us in Christ, for the blessings, for the instructions from Thy Word. Help us to live and to walk, and with all lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, keeping the unity, and the bond of peace. And our Father, we know that all this is wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit, and we thank Thee that those are our desires, that we shall walk, our Father, according to our vocation, wherewith Thou hast called us, wherein Thou hast called us. And we pray Thy blessings in this hour as we bring Thy message. I thank Thee, our Father, for dealing in our midst as Thou art, for awakening sinners and awakening our children, our Father, our loved ones. We pray You'll bless them and bring them on to know Thee. Our Father, what grace it is You would stop by the hearts, the doors of sinners, and awaken them and show them their need of Christ, showing them that Christ died for sinners, and having them to cry out in their heart, oh, what a sinner they are. And that our Father, that they'll say the next breath, what a Savior I have. And may our Father, realize that this day we're brought to the place of repentance and faith and trust in Him. Guide us and keep us in this hour. Bless the sick. Bless the awakened sinner. Bless the saints. Our Father, be with them and guide them and keep them for Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 405. And sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, 405. So take my heart and seal it for Thy courts above. Now let's sing another song. 227, to God be the glory. Let's stand as we sing this last number.
You have a praise in your heart.
If you're able to stand, come on and sing with us. Be seated. Be seated. Well, this past week we sent the down payment on our pews, and perhaps in about they're supposed to have them ready, shipped to us in about 120 days. It'll be after Fellowship Day, but I'm glad that we were able to send that down payment that they requested, certain percentage of the amount, the overall expense. In about 120 days, we ought to have the pews here. Now, we're still lacking some. We need about $3,000, and we're hoping by that time, the next couple of months, that there'll be people who will send in such gifts towards the full purchase of these pews here. And I'm trusting the Lord that we'll have it on hand by the time that the pews arrive. Of course, we still have to get the floor down and the carpet. That has to be done first. So if you haven't given anything towards the pews or the flooring, it all goes together, will you do so now? We need the money now. And we can go ahead and get the carpet in here before the pews come. We need around $3,000. And the money's been coming in, but coming mighty slow, but it's been coming in. So maybe perhaps you might want to buy another pew. You might have enough on the side. You'd like to buy another one. And that'll help a lot. We're doing our best in cutting here, cutting there, and trying to meet the deadline here, the dateline. So you pray with us about it, and what the Lord will have you do. Just lay it before the Lord. And I praise the Lord for every one of you who have helped us and listened to us and backed us. Getting this tabernacle grace, the glory of God. Not that there's any saving power within these walls itself, but to honor Him, to glory. We have a place here to worship, where the King comes in. Try to give the best to Him. I'm glad to see you this morning. Our broadcast is not heard. Wasn't heard this morning at all, and the station's off for the rest of the day. But these messages are on tape. They're going out to our regular missions and our tape family throughout the nation. I'm glad to see you folks, though, here. I see Brother and Miss Harris from Picayune, and Brother and Mrs. Weiss and their family from Hattiesburg. Well, maybe we ought to keep it off the air for a while. It might get many of them to come in, huh? Might have another fellowship day meeting here. They'll all be coming in. Glad to see Brother and Mrs. Bubba Porch in the back there with us. And see, he's getting along fine now, getting along better. And others we've been missing. They were here last Sunday. I don't know, we get longing to see individuals. Well, it's like Bubba told me. He says, you know, says, I'm with you, I'm behind you, and you keep going. We're with you. I praise the Lord for that. There may be times when he cannot be here, he's on the road, other places. But he tells me, he says, I'm behind you, I'm with you. And I praise the Lord for that. And if we had 1,000 of them, people like that, and helping us with their money, their pocketbook and everything, my, this church could go on. What a fellowship. What a unity. What a love. Well, let's go into our message for this morning. I want to speak something, I guess I spoke on it a long time ago, and it's about the sovereignty of God and salvation. Every now and then we like to throw these in, lest we forget from whence we came and how we were saved. But the sovereignty of God in salvation. God is sovereign. God saves whom He will. And according to His own good pleasure. And I believe the more we, as the years go by, knowing Christ, knowing Him as our Lord and Savior, the more we are made to marvel at the grace of God. Why did God save a sinner like me? or His sovereignty, who He's sovereign. To know that He picked me out. Never thought I'd be preaching. I had no idea I'd ever be preaching His Word, teaching it. Never had any idea I'd ever have the responsibilities that I have today. The many burdens, the many trials. But He's sovereign. He's on the throne. He does everything according to His own pleasure, His own goodwill. And I'm learning more and more just to bow to that, bow to His will, whatever it might be, that I may honor and glorify Him and show forth the praise of His grace. I want us to turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And here we have a good story here along that line. Gives you the general idea of salvation of the Lord. I want us to read in that first verse, the first chapter, and let's read the story here of Jonah. I think every one of you children are familiar with the story. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Jonah, and let's read this story about Jonah. We're probably going to read the first and second chapters. The second is short. Might get so good, might read them all. It's a short book. Now let's read it. You know where it is? It's the book after Obadiah. Jonah, the first chapter. Let's begin reading with the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried in every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down unto the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I believe there's many sinners like that today. They're laying and fast asleep. May some of your cry be, O Lord, quicken me from my sleep of death, like the psalmist wrote over in the 13th Psalm. Lord, deliver me from this sleep of death. Awaken me from this sleep of death. I believe there's lots of sinners just laying asleep today. Many awakened sinners. You tell me you're awakened. I wonder if you're really awakened. You're lying asleep. You're asleep. And you're just asleep. Now, let's look at the sixth verse. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth, and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. A great fish to swallow up Jonah. You know, the modernists of today, they laugh at that. And they call that foolish. But that's the reason they have never came to see the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God does as he pleases. And why couldn't he create a fish, a big fish? He's God. He made the fish, didn't he? He made the sea. He made the creation. And what could be so hard about the Lord preparing a fish for Jonah, his servant? Listen. And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And look at the second chapter now. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And what did he say? He said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He was afflicted. Surely he was afflicted. He heard me. Out of the belly of the hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compass me about even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. I tell you, if this is not a description of a sinner under conviction, I don't know where you find it. Any greater description of a sinner bearing the burden of their sin, of their guilt, and of their wanderings. Looking into the depths of their own heart. Now this is a good song. I wonder if you've seen that. I wonder if you did. I know I did. And I tell you, you'll never get over it. You'll never get over it. I wonder if you have. I wonder if you just didn't ease your way into salvation. Your so-called salvation. You just eased yourself. Try to get in by the back way. And never seen your own heart destituted of all goodness, of all merit. And just you found yourself like Jonah, confessing here. Yes, he was down there. And nobody heard him either. He was down there. He was down there praying like the Apostle Paul, 3 days and 3 nights on Straight Street, pouring out to their heart. Have you ever seen it, my friends? You ever seen your heart? He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto the dry land. Look at that ninth verse. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. My friend, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of the pastor. It's not of anyone, but salvation is of the Lord. And before you ever get saved, you will come to find that out. You'll stop your running here and there, and you'll get quiet before the Lord. The Lord will shut you up just like he did Jonah. And you'll begin to cry. And you'll come to see yourself what a sinner you are. And may the Holy Spirit deal with your heart and bring you to such a place you'll be shut up with God. That's the only way you'll know true deliverance. Is when you shut up with God and come to find out that He's sovereign and that He can damn you or He can save you. He could have left Jonah there to perish, but He delivered Jonah. When Jonah finally came to that one conclusion, that salvation is of the Lord. If I'm going to be delivered, God must deliver me. He couldn't deliver himself out of that fish's belly. He had no way of escape. He was shut up. And before you ever delivered, my friend, you come to say what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. And then, only then, you have ceased your wanderings. You have ceased your running. You have ceased your crocodile tears. You've come face to face with the fact that you're lost. There's some of us that have never been there. You've cleaned up your life a little bit. Might have prayed a little bit more. Put on a little bit more piety, as it were. But you've never come to the place of a lost sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. You've never come to the place to where you quit your fighting and you've quit your mouthing and you've quit your running and come to the one conclusion that if I ever get saved, God will have to save me. But He doesn't have to save me. He doesn't have to deliver me. You'll come to see yourself so rotten inside and out, that you think everybody else was angels in comparison with you. And that'll shut your mouth once and forever. There's some individuals here who have never learned to shut their mouth. They've been spewing ever since I've been in the ministry. And a long time before that, you have been spewing and mouthing and you come in, you put on a new face on Sunday mornings, and you draw in all of your sanctity and everything else, to let everybody know that everything's all right. And then when you go home, you undress, you take it all off, and the battle rages again. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody here this morning who finds themselves in such a condition. Salvation, my friends, is of the Lord. Now, you listen to God's servant here this morning. He's got a message for you. Salvation is of the Lord. And I believe some of you don't believe that because you're taking it too lightly. You're not saved. You're just taking it too lightly. You come and go as you please. You give as you please. and just do things as you please. You have never really been in earnest about your salvation. You've been trying to figure out things for yourself, ways that you can be saved, and still have not not come as a lost, guilty sinner, admitting before God that you are lost and that you deserve hell. But salvation is of the Lord. I praise God He saved me, and I praise God for everyone He saved here and out in radio land. I praise Him because I know that He's sovereign, and I know that unless He lays hold of your heart and breaks your will and your rebellion, you'll never get saved and shut you up. Now listen to me. The Lord does not save everybody. He does not save everyone. There's so-called universal religion today that everybody's going to be saved in the end. But that's not so. That's another of Satan's lie. God does not save all. He saves some. He does not save all. Now how do I know that? Well, look about us here today. How many of us can tell me that you're truly saved? And I'll ask you, why aren't you saved? And there was one time there wasn't a handful that was able to say that they were saved. But I know we have quite a few here. But there's a lot that have been here for years and still you're not saved. And whether God ever saved you, I don't know. But I've watched you and I've seen you going, getting worse instead of getting better. Now listen. He saves some. He passes by others. Those He saves are just as much a sinner as those He passes by. No difference. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, just because you say that you're a sinner is no sign that you're saved. When God saves a sinner, He separates that sinner from his sins. He does not save them in their sins. He saves them from their sins. And there are so many today who tell me they're saved, but they're still in their sins, which is a good sign they're not saved, because they're still practicing their sins. Paul said that when God saved him, He saved the chief of sinners. So therefore, God saves not on the basis of how great a sinner you are. He does not exclude any because of their depravity. We're all alike. Now let me ask every individual here this morning who tell me they're saved, was there not a time that when you walked in the counsel of the ungodly, was there not a time that you walked in the counsel of the ungodly? Was there not a time that you stood in the way of sinners? You sat in the seat of the scorners? And wasn't there not a time when you can recall Titus 3:3, that when we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another? And we're studying in our In 1 Corinthians, there was a time when we did practice such. At one time, we were such. At one time, but never no more in Christ. You would have to acknowledge that there was a time when you were in such an awful condition. But I know you're able to say with me this morning that by the grace of God I am what I am. When we see sinners rushing headlong down the road that leadeth to destruction, do you question God's power, whether he's able to stop that sinner or not? I praise the Lord for his grace, for his power. Do you know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, that none of us would be saved this morning? Do you know if it wasn't for the grace of God, there would never be another sinner awakened to their lost condition? There would be never another sinner that would cry out, God, awaken me. God showed me that I'm lost. Like my son cried out this morning. That's what made me think this morning on the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. And he that hath begun a good work in you, my friends, my son, my daughter, God will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Over 20 years ago, God began a good work in this center here, this saint. And he's performed it till the day of salvation. And he will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. God works everything according to his own will and for his own good pleasure. My friends, are you praying that God will awaken your children? Are you laying before God? Are you sacrificing your time before him that he will, in his sovereign love and his sovereign mercy, have mercy upon your loved ones, upon your children, and deliver them? And that you're able to point them to Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How many of us would take salvation for granted? How many would say, well, I'm saved and I'm satisfied? Man, let me tell you something. Ever since God saved me, I couldn't be satisfied. I couldn't. Because I saw what God delivered me from. I saw what mercy and love and grace that he had for me and delivered me from the powers of Satan and transformed my whole life into a living that I'm enjoying today in him, that pleases him. You've got some sons, you've got some daughters that are lost. My friends, can't you see where they are? Don't you know where they are? Can you see them in the same fix that you were in? Can you see their helpless condition? Can you see the powers of Satan has hold of their lives and has a grip upon them and the world? And you might have thrown up your hand and said, what can I do? Listen, my friends, this morning, God is sovereign. God's on the throne. God knows everything. He hears us. God has the power to deliver. And when you recognize, like Jonah recognized, that salvation is the Lord, and you know what deliverance is, you know what the powers of God that delivered you and the blood that cleansed you, then, listen, my friends, you have something that you can lay hold of a sovereign God with. Do you know that? And plead before him. Have you ever pled for your son, my dear father? Day by day, as the day goes by? Or have you come to the place where you're throwing up your hands and say, I can't do anything? Well, that's wonderful. In that respect, you can't. But you have access to prayer. You have access to the Word of God, to the promises of God. You have access to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Have you? I'm pleading with the fathers and mothers of this church. Have you? When was the last time that you went to the throne of grace? There's the word of God. There's the promises. Come to the throne of grace. Come, I beg you to come. I know you can't save your children. I know you can't save your loved ones. But come to me. Come to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Have you come? When was the last time you come? No, you'll see your children in the world. You'll talk about them. I wish they wouldn't do those things. I wish they would come to church. I wish they would pray or read the Bible. Oh, I would they would follow my example. That's not the right attitude whatsoever. I've got the throne of grace to come to. I've been at that throne of grace now for 20 years. Over 20 years knocking. I've got children that are lost. God's hearing prayers. It's just like that man, the late pastor, used to tell us, who prayed for another individual. Prayed for year in and year out, around 50 years. And they asked him, and God laid hold of that man and saved him. Well, why did you pray? 50 years, well, he didn't save him in the 49th year, so he saved him the 50th year. You see? And when you when you get to thinking about where your children are, you can easily become discouraged. Do you know that? But when you look to the Lord, look to a sovereign God who is sovereign, then that'll encourage you. And when you see him working in the hearts of your children, they may be a long ways off. But listen, you were one time like they. Remember that. And it takes the power of God. It doesn't take you. You can plead all you want to. But unless God moves their heart, they'll never come. Do you know that? They'll never come. Yes, we see sinners rushing down the road that leads to destruction. Do you question God's power, whether he's able to stop them or not? We must admit that there was a day when God made us willing in the day of his power. Why then does he not make all sinners willing, you might ask? Why is it? Well, the reason is that he is sovereign. He does as he pleases. Why is it that some believe the gospel while others reject it? Not because some are more intelligent than others, or they are quicker to discern their need of salvation. No, I'm glad that has nothing to do with it. God doesn't look at any of our merits. We have no merits to merit salvation. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou? Thou didst not receive. What have you? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? We receive everything from him. He's sovereign. And they're trying to stop him. The world, the modernists, the ungodly. They can't do it. I praise him. Praise my Lord. It is a sovereign God who maketh the difference between the elect and the non-elect. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and had given us an understanding that we may know him. That is true. That takes place. Come to an understanding. It's all of grace, my friend, salvation. It all comes from a sovereign God. Everything that we have, we receive from him. Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All that were ordained to eternal life believed. Ordained, predestinated, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ordained. You may ask, well, how do I know I'm ordained? Well, I don't know. God knows. But if you ever get saved, that's a sure sign that you were ordained. Now you think about that. Ordained. Picked out. Chosen. Isn't that wonderful when you think about that? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. In Romans 9:21-23, the scripture teaches that fallen mankind, the elect and the non-elect, are nothing but lumps of clay. There is no difference. Ephesians 2:3 tells us that we are by nature children of wrath. We gave that study in the second Ephesians. And what a gracious study it was. We are by nature. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And there's no difference. The final destiny of every individual is decided by the will of God and not by the will of man. You cannot will for your children to be saved, but you can sure pray unto a sovereign God. And if it's his will to save them, he will. Now the final destiny of every individual is decided by the will of God and not by the will of man. Today they're telling you that man has a free will and can be saved upon his own decision. He can choose God anytime he please. But that's wrong. That's not according to Scripture. Man has no free will. He only has the will to do evil. Now, when we look at verse 21, where it is stated that the potter, I'm talking about the 9th chapter of Romans now, where the potter has the power to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor, we readily agree that God makes the difference. A sovereign God makes the difference as to the destination of each of his creatures. And then who are you and I to fight against him? And the sinner who's always fighting, rebelling, and thinking they're going to get even. You just might as well give up. You can't win. There are individuals fighting this ministry today. They just sooner give up. They can't win. That's true. You can't win. They got young girls in this assembly here. They think they can put their thinking and their grievances over on us, and but they can win against God and against this ministry, and make things go according to like the way they will, and so that's the way they go, and they keep trying. But God is sovereign, my friends. God is sovereign. You just sooner give up. You just sooner stop your fighting. And your bitterness, and you might as well throw up your hands and call it quits and just give up, because in the end, you're going to lose. God is sovereign. God has a hold of you. God could, between your life and hell is just a thin thread. Do you know that? Think about that. Just a thin thread there. And all that God has to do is just cut that thread there and you plunge down into hell. Now, you may think that's funny, but that's not. That's true. You go around saying, well, I'll do what I please. I'll dress like I dress. And nobody's going to tell me how to do it. And, well, remember, God's on the throne up there. He's in heaven. He's in glory. God makes the difference in the destination of each of his creatures, some unto honor, others to dishonor. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God is what distrusts a sinner. It humbles him in the dust at the feet of a sovereign God. Now, I tell you what will happen in here if you don't watch it. I had it in my day too. Individuals, when God awakened me, there were individuals who were sitting in the congregation for a long time, and they took this attitude. Well, if God awakened him, why didn't he awaken me? Why don't he awaken me? And then let God save that individual, and you'll have individuals saying, why can't God save me? I've been coming here a long time. Well, why you saved him? And they'll take on a critical spirit. Now, I tell you what happened in my case when God awakened me and I saw him save other sinners. My attitude was of this like. Listen, I said, if God could save him, he could save me. And one individual come to him and said, the Lord saved me. And there was rejoicing in my heart in one sense of the word. And I said, I hope I'll be next. I hope the Lord saved me. Now you watch. And you who are bitter and do not care about the truth, you're going to be critical of those individuals that God's dealing with. Now I've warned my son, I'm telling him. Now, because God awakened him, dealing with his heart for salvation. And you who are not willing to come clean, come clear, and don't care, you're going to be critical towards him. But I told him to be on guard. Don't let any of these things move you. You look to Christ. God will give you victory, just like he gave me victory and every individual ever gets saved. Over the accusers, over the critical tongue, over those individual mouths all the time. And maybe, perhaps, God might have to destroy some people and send them to hell in order to get sinners to him, saved. Now, that's true. I know what I'm talking about. Because I'm here to... I'm on the side of every individual who wants to be saved, who is saved. And anybody who fights them or be critical towards them, they're fighting me. And they're fighting God. I don't care whether it's my own family or other individuals within the assembly, any home. If an individual wants to get saved, I'm all for him. I'm on his side. And God's on his side. Because I don't fear any of them, any individual. Now you let God work. Let God do the work. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. And if he wants to send you to hell, he'll send you to hell, if it's his will. But have a right mind, have a right attitude, and God will bless you. And you pray that God will awaken you. May God help us. Our time ran out, and I just didn't get into the message at all. I've had a lot on my mind this morning, my heart. But my heart is, in many respects, grieved, burdened, at the same time rejoicing, praising the Lord. I'm asking, calling upon all the saints to pray with us for an awakening here. Your own family, your own boy, wherever he may be. Pray. With how that scripture go, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then he'll hear us, you see. And he'll deliver us. He'll deliver our people. And you'll see your boy coming from here, interested. The Holy Spirit lay hold of him. You'll see that young daughter of yours with a different attitude coming, crying, "I want to know the Lord." And see the power of the Holy Spirit break that rebellion, break that pride, break that waywardness. Bring him on down the way of grace. Oh, may not Zion rest, but may she travail in prayer, longing after you, every one of us. You come to know Christ. God lead you. Let's stand. Our Father, thank thee for this message this morning. You bless it to every heart. Bless thy word. Lay hold the hearts of sinners, of our young people, of our friends, every mother and dad. Our Father, we thank thee that thou art sovereign. O Lord Jesus, hear us, deliver us, and we'll give thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.